You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When Mark Davis's wife was battling breast cancer and suffering from the side effects of chemotherapy, she pleaded with him to find a better way. That challenge led Dr. Davis, a chemical engineer, into a decade-long quest to create IT-101, a revolutionary cancer drug. Their story is featured in Curious, a new series from 13 WNET New York, which premieres tonight. I'm very pleased that it brings Dr. Davis and the series producer, Mark Minucci, to my show today. Mark and Mark, welcome.
Thank you very
much.
So
what do I do? I guess I'm going to have to say Dr. Davis and Mr. Minucci.
That's been a problem all throughout this process. Mark and Mark.
Dr. Davis, what work were you doing before your wife became ill?
We spent quite a long time working on materials called catalysts and also working on materials that are generally called polymers that make plastics and so forth.
So stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with biochemicals.
Well, I had consulted with companies like Merck and so forth trying to develop new ways to make drugs and so forth, but it was always a drug that someone else had invented and we were trying to be able to manufacture it.
And what happened with the cancer? When did you find out that she had it?
It was in the spring of 1995. And, you know, it was just, you know, again, a self-examination that then led to a biopsy and so forth that showed that she had breast cancer at that time.
And she went through the usual course of treatments, obviously. Chemotherapy?
Well, she was young at the time. She was only 36, and we had three young children. And so the physicians and the strategy that we took for treatment was very, very aggressive. And she went through a very difficult year of high-dose chemotherapy and then a specialized treatment that actually involved something akin to a bone marrow transplant. So it was about as aggressive as you could be, and that was recommended because she was so young.
And she said something to you that led you to embark in a completely new field.
Yes, it was after, you know, essentially being in isolation in the hospital after the transplant for several months of just being away from her family and, you know, basically having the ravages of chemotherapy for, you know, 2 months continuously.
Now, Mark Minucci, you're the director and the producer, I should have said.
That's
that.
That's right.
How did you learn about Dr. Davis's story?
Well, we got the job, Tara Thomas, the series co-producer, and I, to go in, worm our way deep into Caltech and try to find the stories there that were really compelling. And this was, of course, a no-brainer. This story had to be told. And that's how we met Mark.
And this was, as you were starting up, a new approach to a science show.
A new approach to a science show. We wanted to make a science show. We wanted to really play with the conventions of a science show. We didn't want to have a voiceover or the usually male voice of authority, not always, but the voice of authority.
Well, actually, it's one guy who does all shows on PBS,
right.
I think.
That's right.
He's very good.
That's what it sounds like, and often. And though that's
Mark
a wonderful
Davis
way
went
to,
into his office that day, and
right.
he discovered... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, it works. It's a way of doing it. But we wanted to try something different. We wanted to have the stories told in the voices of the characters who were living them, and we also wanted to play, inject a little wit and humor and make it entertaining.
Now, Dr. Davis, you had to teach yourself all about cancer, didn't you?
Yes. Started with basically no understanding.
How do you, and you know, there's been an awful lot of work on cancer. This is a huge field. So how do you teach yourself about something that has to be totally overwhelming?
Well, it's one of the advantages of being a professor at Caltech is the fact that it opens a lot of doors for you. And as I said on the show, that the field is so big, it's like trying to take a drink of water standing underneath Niagara Falls. It would just swamp you. And so you just can't dive into it on your own. And so, but being a Caltech faculty member, I started just bluntly calling up the best people in the world and inviting myself in and just trying to barrage them with questions that I had to try to get a faster understanding of how to get into the field, what was important, and try to get through this massive amount of literature.
Did you face much skepticism? You're a chemical engineer dabbling in oncology.
Some, but to be honest with you, once again, the ability to say, well, you're already an established, you know, program at Caltech. And what's nice about Caltech is that people across all disciplines are very good at what they do. And so it gives you an instant credibility that you're able to go into another area and say, oh, okay, you're one of those people over there at Caltech. You must know what you're doing. How can I help you?
No, but
I really had no one say, no, I don't want to talk with you.
Mark, your modesty did and continues to amaze me. I mean, you went into a field you knew nothing about and had to learn it from the ground up. I mean, it was incredible for us to hear that.
But you know, do you think that in some way that gives you an advantage? Because people who are in the field are all following certain routes that have been established for quite a while. An outsider might come in and have a totally
fresh
different idea.
Yes and no. And I agree with you that it's always nice to have somebody from the outside come in with a new, fresh perspective. And that's what's so exciting about being at universities where you have all these young, bright people come in, because they don't know that they can't do something. And so we see that on a year-to-year basis, which is really exciting. But what's the difficulty with it is that you're always concerned about, oh, gosh, what did I miss? And, you know, is there this big time bomb out there that I just don't know about that's going to come and blow me away at some point down the road? So there are positives and negatives to trying to move into something that different with no background. But in this particular case, we were able to overcome it and have had, you know, some impact.
Now, what you were trying to do was come up with an alternative to chemotherapy as much as anything else. Chemotherapy kills the bad stuff and a lot of good stuff as well, and has incredible side effects. The chemotherapy your wife was being treated with is called Red Death?
Well, one of the drugs that she used is a drug called adriamycin, and because they put a red dye in it, when you look at it in an IV bag, it's red. And so it's kind of got this name through the side effects that patients have is called Red Death. And so you hear that.
So what did you try to do? How does your concept, IT-101, differ from traditional cancer treatments?
Well, what happens with these what we found with these nanoparticles is that a particular size is really important. When you have a small drug like a chemotherapy drug, these are molecules, and these molecules can go almost anywhere in your body. There are some places that they preferentially won't go, like across into your spinal column and so forth. So most of them, but they go out into all of your tissues. And so they're working on healthy tissues as well as the cancerous tissue. And you can't stop them from going to those places because they leak out of all normal blood vessels. But if you look at what a normal blood vessel is versus a blood vessel in a tumor, as Mark depicted quite nicely in the story, these blood vessels and tumors have bigger holes in them, and so you can make a particle that's now bigger than a molecule so that it can't go out of a normal blood vessel, so it can't go into healthy tissue. So what it's going to do it's going to go more into the cancer than it would into these healthy tissues, and so you can minimize these side effects. But if you make a particle too big, that particle then can't move through the tumor and go into the tumor cells to get good properties to kill them. And so it's almost like the Three Bears story is if you make it too small, it's a problem. If you make it too big, it's a problem. It has to be just right. And over the years, we've kind of found where that sweet spot is, and that's where IT-101 is. It's in a territory that in size that no other therapeutic has been before.
But there are so many different kinds of cancers, and they require different kinds of treatments. Can a drug be created to treat all of the different kinds of cancer?
No. Basically, the concept now is general enough that, and what's so nice about it is now that we've learned in patients that we can build these particles of certain sizes and properties and so forth, we can carry different types of payloads. And the ability to get to the tumors is a generic property now. And we can tune, what's into the particles to be able to do different things to different cancers. What we've chosen with IT-101 is a drug molecule that has good therapeutic effect on a very wide variety of different cancers. But of course, as you said, it can't be effective against all cancers. So what we're learning in these early trials is we're trying to get hints of which types of cancers it will actually work the best on.
Mark Mannucci, you begin telling the story when the drug is about to be tested on the first human being, Ray Natha.
That's right. Our story begins on the day in which Ray is getting the first drop of IT-101.
So let's bring Ray Natha in here. First of all, I should tell everyone that my guests are Dr. Mark Davis, who is the creator of this new drug called IT-101. Mark Mannucci is here. He is the producer and director of the new Curious series, which premieres tonight on Channel 13, WNET. And Ray Natha is the first person that this drug was tested on. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
What was your condition before you were you were given the trial?
Well, before I given the trial, I already gave up on the chemo, and I just quit the treatment. I just went home. So I was sitting home before I started the trial.
And you said you'd given up. What was the prognosis?
Prognosis, it wasn't working on me, and the side effect was so much that I decided to end my life peacefully then, trying to stay a few months extra alive while I was suffering all that 6 months. It was unbearable. I couldn't drive, couldn't go to shopping center, couldn't do nothing.
And you had just gotten married.
Yes, I just got married a few months earlier.
Dr. Davis, why was Ray selected to be the first human trial?
At the time, Ray didn't know, we didn't know that he would be the first patient. And by the way, Happy New Year, Ray. Glad to hear from you.
Ray, yeah, it's great to hear your voice.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Ray.
Ray, you're supposed to be dead by now. Is that basically what we're saying here?
Yeah, they gave me 2 months to live, 2 6 months in the City of Hope. Then I did a biopsy. Then I took some chemo. It didn't work, so I think I shortened my life because of chemo, I think. And they gave me a couple of months, and I was just sitting home trying to organize for my mom and wife. And then I got a surprise call saying, you want to join a study? First of all, I didn't know I was the first patient, but I didn't know what kind of drug I was getting, so I was a little bit nervous. I thought, oh, here we go again. It might be another type of chemotherapy. Well, surely it worked on me, and I was very happy, and I spent a very happy last year and a half. So it worked, and it's good.
Dr. Davis, how is IT-101 administered?
It's an infusion, and so it goes in as a liquid over a period of 90 minutes.
And how often does he have to receive treatments?
It's changed now. Ray's receiving treatments every other week, right, Ray?
Yes, yes. I just took yesterday's treatment.
Have you experienced any side effects?
No, it's very minimum. It's very minor, but no. It's no side effect whatsoever to say, but just a minor.
Now,
but
Ray,
you can adjust with the diet and all that, so it seems to work.
Ray was the first. Are there other patients involved in these trials?
Oh, yes. It was, as I said, we were starting to accrue patients, and it turned out that Ray actually went through the accrual process the quickest, and so he was the first one. And Mark and his team were able to witness it from the very beginning with him. But over that time, there's been numerous other people that have been treated, and the results are sufficiently encouraging that this will now move on. The current trial is still open, but it'll move on to larger trials that are called phase two trials.
Now, there generally are three phases of these trials, aren't there?
Each one, correct.
To determine different things. If it goes through each of them, we're still talking about availability of this drug being years away.
As we have placed at the end of the Curious show tonight, when you see it, is that in the best of all worlds, if everything went perfect, which it never does, you know, the fastest you could envision something like this happening would be, you know, in the territory of 3 years, but more normally it would be longer than that. So we're saying at the end of the show probably somewhere between 3 and 7 years, yes.
And to be absolutely realistic about this, you, as you point out, the trials may not be successful in later stages, and the FDA may decide not to okay it.
That's always the possibility. What you do is, in today's world, there are things that you can do to try to develop smarter trials and faster trials. And with something like this that's so new, we'll be exploring many different options at these various stages. So it's, not like it's one trial, yes or no. We saw enough behavior that was interesting in the first trial with different types of cancers that now we'll be exploring larger trials with different types of cancer. So when you go into phase two trial, now you have to focus on a particular type of cancer.
So what's happening, Ray? Is your cancer stable or is it shrinking?
It's stable because I got a cancer spread on my lungs. So it's a little bit difficult, but it's been stable. It's been shrinking a little bit, but it's going back and forward.
Mm-hmm. Is there a hope that somewhere down the line, Dr. Davis, that these cancers would shrink or disappear?
There is a hope of that, of course. What's happening in these early trials is that these trials, of course, a phase one trial is all about safety, and to be able to see any efficacy at all is a bonus. And so here we're still learning what is the right type of dose and what is the right type of schedule and so forth. And these are the questions you don't know, and they're so specific to every different type of cancer that's why when you move into a phase two trial, you now say, I'm going to have a particular dose and a particular schedule on one type of cancer so that we can better understand what is the best way to treat that cancer. So in phase one, we're not getting the opportunity to understand those parameters completely.
And that's why you go through those other phases.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, I was just saying, so you're saying that you weren't even expecting to see a therapeutic benefit from Ray, from what I understood. Necessarily, you were
hoping. In a phase one, you're always hoping, as we said, Mark. But the issue is that a phase one trial is not about efficacy; it's all about safety. Because what you're trying to do is establish where the safety is in humans, so that you can then go into these bigger trials and more specific trials to try to understand now, can you have effects on specific cancers?
That's what was so compelling to us, to see Ray be able to live so many months past the time he was supposed to have lived with a dose that was really just to test whether the drug was safe. It was just very moving to watch that.
Now, this is not the only segment of Curious tonight, is it?
No, the segment that precedes it, the episode is called Survival, and clearly, this segment is about personal corporeal survival, survival of the body. The segment that precedes it is about a bunch of scientists who have a crazy notion that they're going to build an artificial leaf and generate hydrogen by taking the sunlight to split water into hydrogen and oxygen. Crazy, but doable, they think.
Do you intend to do follow-ups on some of these things? Will we know more about Ray Nathus somewhere down the line?
We'll certainly do follow-ups on the web at the very least, and hopefully more.
I want to thank you all. Dr. Mark Davis is professor of chemical engineering at the California Institute of Technology, and he's developed a revolutionary cancer drug that we hope will have proved to be efficacious in a wide range of treatments. His story is featured in a new series called Curious, which is produced and directed by Mark Minucci. And I misspoke before. The series actually premieres tonight on WLIW Channel 21. It'll be rebroadcast there on the 10th, both cases at 9 p.m., and then on the 11th and the 18th at 8 p.m. on Channel 13 WNET. And my great thanks to both Marks and to Ray Nathan. Ray.
Yes.
Keep it going.
It's always so good to hear your voice, Ray.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you all for being my guest today.
Thank you.